I want you to go with me over to Genesis chapter 12. And I want to lay a foundation for talking to you how to bless Israel. But to do so, it's important to understand the very special place that this nation has with God, in God, and through God. In Genesis 12, verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." Yeah. Say that with me. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Then in Genesis chapter 15, we see the establishment of the covenant. Scripture says, "In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." God will cut covenant, of course, in this scripture with Abram, and the land grant is permanent. It is eternal. Can I have an amen? You cannot separate the land grant from the covenant of God. So any cursing, any threat to that land is a threat to the covenant, is a threat to God. It is not worthy of the blessing. It is worthy of the curse. And then in Abraham chapter 17, we find out, if you want to turn over there, that this is not just a temporary or, you know, intermediate promise of God. It is an everlasting covenant. In chapter 17, everybody say a good amen today.
Amen.
In verse 8, "The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." Say it with me. To Abraham, to his descendants, forever. So if you're thinking, because you listen to certain media sources or certain liberal groups, that somehow Israel's an occupier of the land, no, Israel is an owner of the land, given to them directly by God Almighty. It's important to understand this. And it's important for you to understand that the blessing is tied to what we do with Israel.
Yes, it is.
I want to sow this into your heart today. Is there anyone here that would like to see the blessing manifesting more in their lives? Raise your hand. You would like to see more of that. Well, there is a principle here that a lot of Christians have not adopted, have not applied in their lives. They love God, they respect Israel, but how do you actually go about blessing them? Well, I'm going to tell you that your blessing's about to go way up if you act on what you hear today. That blessing is tied to what we do with Israel as a nation. The judgment of the nations, which will come one day, will be based on how nations treated Israel. It's important that this country understands that. It's important that this country and its leadership does not try to manipulate or strong arm the leadership of Israel. It's important we understand that it's not that Israel needs America. America needs Israel.
Yeah. Woo! Yes.
The blessing is tied to what our church does with Israel. Your family. And also at the individual level, your blessing is tied to what you do as a family, what you do as an individual. And if you want to see the fullness of that blessing, you cannot ignore the responsibility to be a blessing to the people of God. I want you to understand here that support of Israel is not political. It is not cultural. It is not racial. It is purely and uniquely spiritual. You need to understand that love for Israel is spiritual, and hatred for Israel is also spiritual. You need to understand that you and I are grafted in by faith. So an attack on Israel is an attack on your family. You remember how you felt on 9/11. Some of you, 70, 80 years old, wanted to enlist. We had people leave the NFL and Major League Baseball to go fight. We had people that were retired go activate because they wanted to do something because you felt that attack. That's the way Americans should feel when Israel's attacked.
All right.
And if they don't, you have bought a lie from the pit of hell. And you're in danger of seeing yourself, you know, not blessed the way God wants to bless you. Americans cannot walk around and say that Israel is just another nation in the plethora of nations. It is unique. It is the only nation on the earth where God himself established covenant with them. And when he makes covenant, he means business. When he makes covenant, he is serious, and he doesn't violate the words of his mouth, and he will not violate this covenant. So you have to understand what you do with Israel as a nation, as a church, as a family, as an individual, has everything to do with the manifestation of the blessing in your life. Well, it's just because it's another democracy that we support them. No. Thank God they do have some sort of manifestation of rule of the people. That's wonderful, but it has to do with their spiritual heritage. And when they're attacking them, they're attacking us. And when they're attacking us, they're actually attacking the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about that. In the modern history of Israel, we have seen nothing but assault upon assault upon assault on these people. It's not natural, it's demonic. Statehood came in 1948 in May, and immediately when the British departed, nations lined up against them to attack them. Deuteronomy 20 tells us this in verse 1, when you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt will be with you. When you're about to go into battle, the priest shall come forward and address the army. He shall say, "Hear, Israel, today you are going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not panic or be terrified by them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." The standing promise of God no matter who attacks Israel. Are you here today? In 1948 to 49, the fight for their independence, Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and Iraq all attacked. How could this young nation possibly survive that from all sides except God? In those days, those who opposed Israel were heard to say, "God fights for them." Not too long ago, Dr. Barclay was over there and a string of missiles that flew over a couple years ago, and he had the general tell him, "This is what they're telling us. This is what the military on the other side is telling us. We can't defeat this. God fights for them." Amen. Even the enemy knows that God fights for them. Yep. And so they won their independence. But in 1956, the Suez Canal crisis, they tried to navigate the attack on their interests and interests of other nations, and they had war. 1967, the Six Days War, Egypt, Syria, Jordan, and Iraq attacked. That's when we began to hear about supernatural miracles, where entire units were blinded by sandstorms and equipment wouldn't work. Your God knows how to muck up the system. And it's a story that comes out a lot from our people over there. 1973, the Yom Kippur War, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, Jordan, Algeria, Morocco, Saudi Arabia joined again to lay siege and attack the people of God. Then in 1979, through Jimmy Carter's leadership, Egypt signed a peace treaty between Egypt and Israel, a forerunner of things that would come. Immediately after that, the Egyptian president Anwar Sadat was assassinated for doing so. A high price for peace. Then 1982 was the first Lebanon War, involving the PLO in Syria. In 2006, the Lebanon War again with Hezbollah. In 2022, in Gaza, came out Hamas, and on the northern border, Hezbollah and the Houthis in Yemen. Now this is real. This is not imaginary. This is not pretend. This is a real threat to people that are our family. 17 years, Hamas prepared for that attack. 17 years building tunnels and stocking supplies. By the grace of God and the work of joint intelligence operatives in Lebanon, they discovered a tunnel system there and weapon systems that would make the attack on Israel 1,000 times worse than what happened last year. And some believe it would have happened on October 7, 2024. God is with them. But we also need to be with them.
Amen. That's right.
If God is for them, we need to be for them as well.
Amen.
Are you here today?
Yes.
It's important to understand this. I encourage you today to find out what you can do and what you can be in terms of being a blessing to these people. Israel does not have to be perfect to be God's chosen. Abram lied to Abimelech supernaturally. Abimelech didn't touch his wife, and so he wasn't cursed because of it. But, you know, you can see this man was not perfect, nor are the current leaders of Israel perfect. I want you to understand this. The covenant's not based on the perfection of the Jews. It's based on the perfection of Almighty God.
Yes. Yes.
And our covenant's not based on our perfection. He took our sin, and He gave us His righteousness. It's always been, always will be, about God. And if you don't have any other reason you think for supporting the Jewish nation, Jesus is the top Jew. If you love Him, you should love the Jews. He's not called King of the Jews by accident. Zechariah 2:8 says this, "For the Lord of armies says this, after glory He has sent me against the nations that plunder you," speaking to Israel, "for the one who touches you touches the apple of my eye."
Ooh, there it is.
And you understand and believe and apply that one scripture, you understand that you need to be on the right side of this thing. The apple of the eye means something that you care deeply and passionately about. It's cherished above all others. The apple of the eye has a special place in God's heart. Say it with me. God bless the people of Israel. And you know what the word says. I'll bless those that bless thee. That means anyone who would take up that challenge can receive and walk in the blessing of God. And I want you to be reminded today what that means. You think about the blessing on Abraham, the blessing on David, the blessing on Solomon. You think about the blessing on the people of God and the things God has done just since they've been a nation. The technological breakthroughs, the agricultural breakthroughs, the engineering breakthroughs. These people are a marvel. And how could they not be a marvel when they are God's? Are you here today? But you're grafted in.
Amen.
If you have faith, then Abraham is your father.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Amen? And you have a share in that blessing.
Hallelujah.
And it's not something we say when somebody sneezes. Bless you. It is tangible.
Amen.
It is real. It is abiding. It is producing. And it gives you things like the power to succeed. When you are cursed, you are empowered to fail. But when you're blessed, you're empowered to succeed. That's what's on them, and that's what you enjoy. If you bless them, you too will be blessed.
Amen.
That empowerment, that blessing includes the power to prosper without shame, without reservation.
Amen.
Christianity teaches you to be ashamed of prosperity. That's not in the Jewish DNA. They don't separate material blessing from spiritual blessing. It's a Western religious concept, and it's robbed a lot of Christians of God's goodness, amen, caused a lot of confusion. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't take part of Abraham's blessing. Take it all. It's the power to have longevity. Live out your days. Fulfill your purpose. Amen.
Amen.
And then you're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Anybody game up for that?
Amen.
Glory to God. It's the power to bear much fruit. You're supposed to have fruit as a believer. You're supposed to have successes. You're supposed to have victories in your life. And you can when you have that empowerment. It's the power to increase. It's on you. Look at somebody and smile and tell them there's something on you. And it's the power to increase. Why? Because you bless them. It's also the power to excel in your life and go to the highest place. Some of you are just a few deliberate blessings on the people of God to go into that next notch that God has for you.
Yeah.
You've been taught the principles of faith and how hope intersects faith and how you have to, you'll walk in love, that faith works by love. You have been taught these things. You've been, these things have been, grounded in terms of your foundation and in an understanding. But you also must know there are other factors like blessing, intentionally blessing the people of God. And that's the mission today. I'm excited when I came here and I saw, our people planting those flags. They represent needless deaths of your brothers and sisters who did nothing to deserve this whatsoever. Most of them were civilians. These were not military targets. And so they stand out there today and they will fly all day tomorrow. Then they'll be collected after tomorrow and you can have some of them. You take them to your house, plant them yourself, whatever you want to do with them. But we fly them to remember and to honor and to bless what happened and let them know. Let our town know. Somebody asked me, I think they had good intentions. Don't you? What if you have some radical on campus and you aggravate them? Then they can stay aggravated. I live on a property that belonged to a McCoy family. Catfields and McCoy has been fighting forever. Bless God, but you know when somebody attacks your family, what do? You stand with them. I mean, you can be at each other's throats. I mean, just down in the dirt fighting with them. And all of a sudden somebody pick on somebody in your family. Uh-oh. I had two older brothers and one older sister. And she could outpunch all three of us put together. But come somebody pick on one of us. And that needs to be in the mindset of everybody here when it comes to the people of God. And one day it's an honor, it's a beautiful sight to see that solidarity. At the same time, it's very disheartening to see the need of this death is represented by that yard out there. So how do you do it? How can you bless Israel? It's a very simple strategy, and I want you just to receive it and apply it to your life just as quickly as you can. First of all, you pray. That's how you bless Israel. You pray. Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace in Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper. Pray for the peace. And if you do, what will happen is you'll prosper. Those that love her will prosper. When you're speaking of peace, we're not just talking about the absence of war. The Bible says in Psalm 25:22, deliver Israel, O God, from their troubles, challenges, troubles, from war, but also the restoration of what peace literally means. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Wholeness in that land. Amen. Respect for its borders. Can I have an amen? Amen. Allowing them to do what God has called them to do and to be the beacon light they're called to be in these last days. Actively pray for the protection, for the prosperity, for the stability, for the wisdom, for the success. In Psalm 122:6, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. In Matthew 23:39, we can say, you shall see me no more until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We should all pray that everyone understands and knows that Jesus is the Messiah.
Yeah.
Your prayer should include that. Exodus 23:31, and I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the Sea Philistia and from the desert to the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. Pray for Israel's borders to be secure. Psalm 91:4, pray for those in Israel to run to God's wings of protection. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth will be your shield and buckler. In Psalm 138:7, pray for all captives and hostages. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. Can I have an amen today?
Amen.
In Zechariah 12:4-5, pray for the Lord to supernaturally protect and empower Jerusalem and the people of Israel. In that day, says the Lord, I'll strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the houses of Judah and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength and the Lord of hosts their God. In Genesis 12:3 and Isaiah 60:12, pray for the nations in groups against God and his people to turn so they are not cursed and utterly ruined. You stretch your hand against Israel and you don't repent, you are cursed. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's what God wants to do through Israel. But you can't receive that blessing if you run around cursing them. The scripture goes on to say in Isaiah 60, "For the nation and kingdom which will not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly ruined." I'm saying I don't want America to be one of them. Amen. You want to preserve this nation? Preserve that honor and respect for the nation of Israel. Amen. You pray. Say it, I pray. How do you bless Israel? I pray for them. Pray for them. I mean, we can be honest about this. A lot of us can't remember how often we do pray for them, if at all. Special occasions when something goes wrong. But how many can say that you can add them to your prayer list every single day? Pray. Pray for them. That's how you bless them. Number two is say. As in, say good things about her. And follow up those words with action. Fundamentally, to bless means to say something good about. There's so many dimensions of that word than just saying, but it starts with saying things. To curse is to say something bad about. I've seen Christians sucked into this mindset of trying to say that there is moral equivalency between what Israel's doing to protect herself now and what has happened to Israel. One is an unjustified, unprovoked murder of people. The other is an act of war to preserve and protect God's people. You have to understand that when people do this, they are cursing Israel, not blessing Israel. There is no moral equivalence between the two. Don't believe what you're told. Don't believe the lies that are out there. Can they do things in a different way? Could they be sharper? Could they be wiser? Yes, but don't dare try to say the unjustified, unprovoked murder of 2,000, 1,200 people, whatever it is, you know, is the same thing as what they're doing over there with Hamas and with Hezbollah. Israel does not hide behind the skirts of women and the toys of children. Israel does not store their goods and their wares and their military craft in schools and hospitals. These people are cowards. Fair fight, they have no chance whatsoever. Somebody goes in downtown to a bank on Monday, armed, and they take hostages, and the hostages are hurt in the process or killed, that's on the bank robber. And every civilian killed or maimed in this operation is on Hamas and Hezbollah. Say, why? Because their actions are criminal. You go out and have an accident with your car, and it's just an accident, somebody dies, it's ruled an accident, no fault, there you go. But you put drugs in your system or alcohol in your system, and you go from having an accident and an insurance premium that goes up to being charged with at least manslaughter. That's the difference. You say good things about them. And you correct people when they say wrongly about Israel. How many don't want somebody talking ugly about your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your pastor? Don't let people talk ugly about your brothers and sisters. They're human. They're not gods. Amen. But this is designed to evoke sympathy, to undermine God's authority and God's commitment to that nation. Make no mistake about it. In Numbers 24, oh, how they wanted Balaam to prophesy and speak against the people of God. But in Balak's anger, he burned against Balaam. He struck his hands together and said to him, "I summoned you to curse my enemies, but you have blessed them these three times. Now leave at once and go home. I said I would reward you handsomely, but the Lord has kept you from being rewarded." Balaam answered, "Balak, did I not tell the messengers you sent me? Even if Balak gave me all the silver and gold in the palace, I could not do anything on my own accord, good or bad, or go beyond the command of the Lord, and I must say only what the Lord says." Amen. And I'm going to go back to my people, but come, let me warn you of what this people will do to your people in the days to come. Don't succumb to any pressure to use your mouth against the people of God. I tell you that simple decisions where people stand, Gentile, Christian, pagan, wherever they are, whatever they are, a simple decision to align with the people of God changes everything. Rahab found that out. Running the most successful brothel anywhere in that part of the world. Spies come and they give her a decision. You will survive this and your family will be preserved if you yield and cooperate with us. She hides them and the rest is history. You open up your Bible to the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will find a woman prostitute named Rahab. Who did what? Who said and did the right thing concerning Israel. Do you know nothing has changed? If you say and do the right thing about Israel, you too will walk in the blessing of God. Come on, say it. I say right and I do right. Look at somebody and say, that's right. You're a Dudley do right. This isn't political either. This is just a fact. In my lifetime, every U.S. president has promised to move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. Every single one of them. Democrat, Republican. Amen? Democrats and Republicans. But one actually did. Somebody said, well, that offends me, brother. You haven't even begun to be offended yet. Because in a few weeks, I won't apologize for a message on policy. It is what it is. Truth is truth and error is error. But when President Trump made that decision and then followed up on it, it garnered unbelievable favor from God to this nation. The economy that broke out is the finest and healthiest in the history of this country. I don't know if he puts two and two together, but I've been in this a while to know it's not the hand of man, it's the hand of God. And before COVID broke out, it was unreal what was happening in this nation. Why? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and I will bless those that bless thee, and I will curse those that curse thee. And it is a small thing to the average American to do. It doesn't seem to bother them one way or the other, but to God it was monumental. To the Jews it was monumental. That somebody would finally keep their word. Say a lot of things about Trump if you want to. I'll tell you one thing. You never have to know where he stands. He's a lot like my mother. Yes. In fact, they'd be good friends. Sure about that. You see what the devil's done? Well, I want a president who has nice tweets. All sugar and cotton candy. I just point out to you that God has always used hard-headed people to serve his purpose for Israel. It's bigger than just this nation. And then his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who in my opinion deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for what he did. Introducing normalization of relationships between first Israel and Bahrain. The Arab war went nuts because their philosophy was there can be no peace in Israel until you deal with a Palestinian issue first. And they proved them wrong. Bahrain signed that accord. And then Israel signed accords with the United Arab Emirates. And then Israel signed accords with Morocco. And then Israel signed accords with Sudan. What do you think that does? That positions this nation to be blessed by God Most High. You bless them by saying the right thing and doing the right thing. How do we fit into that? We make up our minds that we are going to be people that bless them, not just praying occasionally, but daily using our mouths to bless them and say good things about them. Amen. Say it with me. I pray and I say. And number three, you knew it was coming. I pay. You know that seed time and harvest is a biblical principle. Jesus himself said, given it shall be given you. You all believe that? Paul made it plain that he gives seed to the sower, and you'll be made rich in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. But there is something special that happens when the people of God materially bless the people of Israel. I'm not there. I can't, you know, just leave here right there, but we can go there and distribute food, but we can partner with the people who are on the ground who know what they're doing to make a difference for these people. And war just exacerbated an already difficult situation for them. In Solomon's day, the Queen of Sheba showed up with spices. The load was so large, to this day they say that Israel's never received such a gift of spices. Precious stones and gems were in that load. And 120 talents of gold. 9,000 pounds, 144,000 ounces. At today's value of an ounce, that's $382,896,000 that she brought to Solomon. That's some seed. Everybody said, that's a seed. And Solomon, in dedicating the temple, had the same mindset. Thousands of animals, not holding back on God one iota, because he understood the power of a seed as well. Why do I bring this up? When you sow like that, you reap in amazing ways. That's interesting. But what's just as interesting is when she left 1 Kings 16, she left with every question answered she had because his wisdom was vast. God gave him wisdom because he asked for wisdom. And then God said, I'll give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you everything else on top of that. That's our God. She had incredible favor with him. And she left with a royal bounty from Solomon's own coffers. If the seed was $382 million, what was the harvest she went back home with? They say she was either Ethiopian or from Yemen, from southern Arabia. It makes no difference. She was very, very wealthy and came home even more wealthy, sowing into Israel. Now watch this. Your giving into this nation, into this people, activates the blessing in your life. The Nazis had a different mindset. First in Austria, then throughout Germany, Poland, to every occupied land. Stripped the Jewish people of their wares, of their wealth. Collected it for themselves, the gold, precious paintings, articles, housewares, whatever the case may be. Rounded them up for execution. They stripped the people of God, took away from the people of God, and what they dreamed would be a 1,000-year Reich was a 12-year run. There's always a consequence for coming against the people of God. And nobody did it even worse, ever worse than he did. You see, when you bless them, you're blessed. How can you go from the infrastructure and the wealth and the power that Germany had and be destroyed that quickly? Gone. From ascension of power to about in 1933 to gone in 1945. You touch God's people and God's own hand will come after you. I remember when George Bush the First was running for re-election. After the first Gulf War, his approval rating was 92%. I mean, you say that's pretty hard to beat in a general election. A few months later, his approval rating was 26%. Why was that? The economy faltered big time. His approval faltered big time. But what was going on behind the scenes? What was going on behind the scenes was his Secretary of State, James Baker, demanded that Israel stop building settlements. And if they didn't do it, they're going to strip them of their loan guarantees to witchcraft Israel into submission, and it cost George Bush re-election. You cannot curse them and be blessed. Most American leaders understand this. Some of them need to go back to kindergarten. As a nation, what have we done? We have supported Israel since 1946 in a way that no other nation has been supported. Let's not stop now. Amen. Around $340 billion in military and other kinds of aid. Egypt's received about $170 billion. Ukraine's received $120 billion in just a couple of years. I'm all for Israel receiving everything they need. But somewhere in there has to be some money for the American people in North Carolina and Georgia and Florida. And spend it however you want to. Money's earmarked for hurricane reconstruction and emergency services have been diverted to support people who are here in this country illegally. That's the fact, Jack. When the shuffling begins and reprioritization begins on American finances, just like we put the tithe at the top, put Israel at the top. But a lot of these other things need to be rethunked. Can I have an amen? If it's not North Carolina, what if it was somebody else's home and situation? See, I'm upset too, just like that one. It bothers me, makes me cry. Say it with me. I can choose to bless Israel by my prayer, by what I say and do, and by my giving. We often send forth missions money to the Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Anytime you want to, you can just submit something into the offering and earmark it that way. You can go to their website and do the same thing. I encourage you strongly, don't let this message fall on deaf ears. Yeah. Do something to support the people of God. Pray for them daily. Can I have an amen? Amen. Say good things about them regularly and invest in their direct support. And watch and see if God doesn't do something like he did for the Queen of Sheba for you. Anybody want some of that? Yeah. Anybody here with a raised hand said, I'll take some of that?
I'll take some of that.
You already found out today from what Rodney said that God's not broke.
He's not.
I mean, what Sheba had was just a scratch on the surface. Amen? Say that with me. God will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. I've been around a while to know how the devil works and how he slowly, through attrition, begins to remove the thinking and pervert the thinking of even God's people. You need to renew in your mind your commitment and your heart towards the people of God. Because it honors God. Amen. And as you do so, understand this. You just added another dimension of how you tap into that blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Say it, I'm a giver.
I'm a giver.
And I'm a tither.
But
I have the ability to give into ministries that take care of the people of Israel. Amen. It's going to be hard for you just to send a check, you know, to the IDF in Israel with love. But there are channels for you to do so. I encourage you strongly to do that. We have people in this church that do that nearly every month. I don't know of a greater place to sow, not your tithe, but to sow your seed and see what God does in your life. Since we started doing this, our church has seen explosive increase. We have a lot to do. Amen. Are you agreeing with me that one set of steps is not enough?
Right.
Kind of looks kind of funny. The things we're called to do. The focus on education. The focus on promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ to every age group and every educational group. We have a lot to do. I'm just simply telling you that sowing into an organization that helps the Jewish people, God blesses that. Kelly and I personally give into that ministry. And I can't tell you that anything but the same thing is true. He blesses it. Are you here today? So we're going to close this service as the choir comes back. The choir comes back. The worship team comes back. I had a Lutheran moment there for a minute. Is that what it was? I doubt that. I want the ushers just to prepare to serve you with an opportunity to do that very thing. And it's not, oh, give them $5,000, $500, whatever the case. No, it's do something. Activate your faith at this moment in time to be a part of this. And everything we receive will go in our next bunch and bundle to this association, this fellowship. And let's do Magnificent Trinity again, okay? Amen. Did you receive something today?
Yes.
Do you love Israel?
Yes.
I said, do you love them?
Yes.
Amen. Just listen to the Holy Ghost about what to do. And you put your faith out there. You pray for them. You say what is right. You pay. You give. You invest. What a wonderful opportunity we have to act on our faith here, to act on the Word of God. Amen. And when you are talking and blessing them with your mouth, you don't have to repeat all the fear-mongering either. You just simply speak peace, amen? Victory and joy over that situation. But there's no scenario where Israel is ever going to lose or where they're going to lose their land. Ever. The Almighty has spoken it. I'm just encouraging you because I know these things to be true, that when you bless them, He blesses. Thank you, my Father. We worship you today. Amen. Father, we just take this opportunity to act on our faith, to say we care about what goes on over there, that children without shoes and widows without food, infrastructure that's been damaged, all these years since their inception, constant fighting and struggle just to maintain their borders and their sovereignty. We do that right now. We pray for them. We bless them. We say good things about them. And we invest in the kingdom of God as well. We invest in their welfare. We invest in what they're doing. And we thank you, Father, for that privilege and that opportunity. Lord, show us how we can be consistent givers. Continue to bless them. Continue to say good things about them. Continue to pray. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.